Hi, this is Pastor Patrick of Calvary Chapel, Wichita. I pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Well, I am Pastor Brad from Calvary Chapel Fellowship. I came out from underneath Mark. I look around the room and I see men that I've known for 12, 15 years going to all the men's retreats. And it's when you come and see that, you're just home. That's what I love about Calvary Chapel. It doesn't matter where you go, which one you walk into, you're home and you're part of the family. And so we've done a lot of worship times together and different things on these men's retreats. So it's kind of fun being here. So thank you for having us and my wife, Melody. We came out from underneath Mark Fry in Ark City. It came about, I guess, that I'd thought maybe the Lord was calling me in to the ministry. Didn't know what, where, when. More or less kind of maybe a number two guy. I felt real comfortable in that spot. Didn't know if it was going to be under Mark or somebody else, but just kind of had a leading. Maybe that's where he was leading me to. Talked to Mark. Mark said I had a bad dream and I wasn't leaving the church. So if you know Mark, that's what he did. He walked right out of the office on me. I'm, wait a minute now. God's speaking to me. What are you leaving for? Well, he leaves and he comes back later and he says, well, if it's that way, we're going to start praying and see what God has for you. That was in April, May of 2006, June 2006. He's at the pastor's retreat in our conference in California, and him and three other pastors from the area had called, talked to me, and they called at 5:30 their time, 7:30 our time, and said, hey, pray about going to Emporia or Lawrence. We feel that God's calling you. Maybe he's calling you there. And we prayed about Lawrence, and that just didn't go anywhere with us. Don't know why, but Emporia seemed right. So we went up. We spied the land. We do birthday weekends when our birthdays come up, and we kind of, what do you want to do? It's our choice. I said, I want to go and stay in Emporia for the weekend on my birthday, and we'll just spy the land out. When we left, we knew God called us there. So it was just a process of getting us there. We've been there now. Started in October of 2006 as a Bible study, hoping to go 2 years without having to move from down by Burden, is where we were living, for at least a couple years. That didn't happen. The people started coming, and we got this big group, and they started pushing for a church. I told them, held them back for like 3 months to even find a building. Said, no, just let's just wait. We're waiting on the Lord, and trying to be spiritual, but they wouldn't have any part of it. Next thing I know, I say, well, okay, you guys find me a building and we'll do something. Well, the next week they call me and say, hey, you got to come up early Friday because that's when we had our Bible studies. And because we got a building to look at. Well, next thing I know, you know how the story goes, we're in a building and we started church. So it's been going since 2007. June 10th was our first Sunday. And so we've been going for a while. We just now bought a building, went from a little bitty tear down, set up church to a building on the east side of town. It was an old Fraternal Order of the Eagles. It was a bar restaurant. And when they left everything in there, which was a nice thing for us in a sense, because we got all the tables and all the chairs, and we got a full commercial kitchen and all the stuff in it. But then they left all the kegerators and all the beer coolers and beer, and they left everything there. So we ate. You kind of had to weed through that stuff and clean it out. And it was a nasty, stinky place. But God and his people came out of nowhere and started working on it. And we now moved in the sanctuary as of about 6 weeks ago. We got it done. It took us 11 months to remodel it and get it done. And the building's clean and it's nice. So we finally got a home. If you guys are passing through, going to or fro, give us a holler. We'd love to have you stop by and see us, come by the house or whatever. So just know that there's a place for you there. So anyway, that's a little bit about me. Tonight, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10. I've been trying to, this is actually what I'm going to share Christmas Eve and Christmas Day service. I'm going to stretch it over the two times, so I hope you got it, about 3 or 4 hours. I figured, I'm a typical pastor of Calvary, you know, you stretch it forever. No, I'm kind of doing a condensed version of what we're looking at, but if we look at this and look at it as, and we're going to see that in here, where Christ, it says in here that, but a body was prepared for me, and he's talking about, Jesus is talking to the Father. God the Father. And he says to him, hey, you know, you're preparing a body for me. And that really relates of what we're coming into, the Christmas season, as we call it. Time of Christ's birth. And we're going to see that. We're going to look at that as a slant to that, as a starting point, a point of where Christ came into and why he came. We know that he came for our sins, but we're going to really get into it a little bit tonight, kind of decipher it a little bit. So as we get ready to start, let's just open in prayer. Lord, we just thank you again for all that you've done and all you do. Lord, we ask you to go before us tonight and to have what you have for us. Bring it out to us, Lord. Lord, I just ask you to take over tonight and to use your word that you've put together and use it to edify us, God. Lord, I just thank you for this evening and I thank you for this time of sharing. Lord, I thank you for that time of worship where we're able to just push the world away and leave the outside outside and just go before you, soften our hearts and worship unto you. Now, Lord, open our hearts and our minds for your word that we can take it in, that when we go back outside, God, you can be used by you in a mighty way. Go before us and give us boldness to share in these last days, these last times that we're going to be about, Lord. Things are getting crazy, Lord, and we just know that you're in control, that you are our rock. But go before us and give us boldness to share what you have for us, what you have for them out there, the lost. Lord, we just give it all to you. We thank you for your gospel. We praise you, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father, for sitting on the throne. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here with us right now, God, guiding us. We give it all to you and praise you and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to start off in verse 1, chapter 10, Hebrews. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifice repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God.'" First he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made." Then he said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will." He set aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstools, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." And then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. It's a great part of the Bible for us to really have a rest in Jesus Christ completely. In this first four verses here, he talks about making us holy. or make perfect. It's not talking about making us perfect in sinless ways. It's not about that, what he was talking about in the way of the sacrifices. It doesn't do that. Only through Christ and through our resurrection, through him, are we completely sinless in that matter. But it doesn't mean that we're sinless in perfection. What it's meant for is the removal of our guilt. It was to take away the guilt from us. You know, it's really hard when we stand guilty before somebody. How do we feel when we're guilty? We know we've been caught or whatever we are, we stand. But with Jesus Christ and him who's died for us, who's paid for all of that, who's taken that guilt away, we can actually stand, even as wretched as we are, we can stand before God and be guilt-free because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. So when we see this as made perfect, it's not perfect in the way of our sinless bodies. We're not going to be that way until the other side. But we can stand before God and be guiltless before him. You know, it's really hard for us sometimes as worshipers to come to that place with all our baggage that we bring along with us. You know, the enemy has a great way of bringing that stuff back up. We deal with it, we let it go, we give it to the Lord, and then it comes back up. And when we go through that, we keep going through this guilt cycle, which we don't need to be. Because it says here, later we're going to see where they don't even remember it anymore. It's us who bring it up. So it's time for us to start setting aside that stuff. Leave it behind us. See, God wants to work through us a miracle. You know what that miracle is? It's to bring somebody else to the cross to accept Jesus Christ. Every time we speak to the Lord, we speak of the Lord, we go before other people and we bring them and usher them to the cross. It's a miracle and a happening. And God wants to use us mightily in that. And we can't be used when we're always feeling guilty about something we've done, when we know God, Christ has paid for it all for us. Goes on to say in verse 4, we're going to jump ahead a little bit as we go, and it says, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. What he's talking about here is when they were going through the sacrifices, the sin of the animals didn't do anything for the people. It didn't do anything for them to be guilt-free of anything. It was just really, as we're going to see here in a little bit, it's a reminder of what our sin is and how we come once a year to that point of where we have to go through these sin sacrifices to get rid of our sin. So as we look at this, it's not about the blood of the animals. It's about it's about Jesus Christ and his blood. The yearly rituals, which we're going to get into a little bit here now, coming into that. Yearly rituals is the Day of Atonement. You might have read about that, heard about that. It's about the Day of Atonement, saved as a kind of an annual reminder of sin to us, to see how we are sinful people, that we need a Savior. That's what they needed a God. They needed the Lord. And the only way they had that reminder is just once a year that God established this ritual for us to do. Verse 5, it says, therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, you know, this is a point of time, and this is what I want to get to at about how I'm going to tie this in a little bit with Christmas. This is a point of time, a time where God is going to go from, as God himself, as the second part of the Godhead. We have God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have the Son is now speaking here, and he's getting ready. He says to the Father, he says, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire. And the reason why was that God became ritual. God created that to show them their sin, but then it just became a ritual thing. Like we do that a lot anyway. We do that in our own selves today. You know, there's things that we have to stop just being ritualized in the way of way we do things, the way we pray. You know, there's times to break down some walls and just go before God. You know, there's times where you need to go home and lay flat on your face, flat out, and just cry out to God. How often do we do these things? How often do you try these things? Or is it just a quick prayer before we get up in the morning and a quick prayer at night? You know, we get into that cycle so easily. I do. And I know it's easy for all of us to do that. And we have to break those cycles so we have time to share with Him. It goes on and says, but a body you prepared for me. And he's talking about here about exactly what God has done. Now he's talking between Jesus Christ is talking to the Father, right? Jesus Christ is talking to the Father. And he's saying to him, you know, you prepared a body for me. What body is that? As we see it, we're coming into it. It's this baby child. This baby child that we're going to be representing his birthday, him coming up as birth as a child. This body was prepared for him. And we know the story, how it all came about, how the Holy Spirit came on top of, over the top of Mary. Mary became pregnant with this baby. Now, every baby has a soul, right? This soul of this one was God Himself coming into it. We have a point of time here to look at where God made this body for His Son, Jesus Christ. What a miracle in it. When we get to the end tonight, we are going to read in Luke chapter 2. And I hope you guys read the Christmas story every Christmas. It's a great story to read to the family and sit around. This time, go ahead and put this into it. Go back and show why. Why God made this for us. To take away these sins. To have a way in that we can see and be stand before our Father, holy and righteous, still as wretched as we are. And we see this point of reference right here. So it's the sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. So we know that that God was not pleased with things, although He established them for the Israelites, for the Jews, so they would have a point that they could come back to rectify their sins that they've given the Lord, to recognize, to remind them of their shortcomings and their sin life. But He wasn't pleased with this. This wasn't the ultimate plan. He laid it out there. This was a, as it says at the beginning, this was a shadow of what was to come. That shadow there is just a shadow of it. It's not the representation. It's just a shadow. We see a shadow of me or shadow of you. It's just an outline. That's it. And that's all it was. Christ came as the real thing. He came to be the sacrificial lamb. Then he goes on to say in verse 7, it says, then I said, and this is Jesus, then I said, here I am. And it goes in and says a little side note, it is written about me in the scrolls. And what this means is it's written about me throughout the prophets. Of all the prophets that were talking, it's written about me. This was going to happen. We go through Joel. We see in Ezekiel. We see in Daniel. We see these points where they goes back to the birth of Christ. And he even talks about in Joel where it's in Bethlehem. So we see this, and that's what he's talking about. It was written about me in the scrolls. You know that, Father. And it says, I have come to do your will, O God. The thing is here is obedience. God, Christ, was obedient to the Father. Knowing, when he's saying this, knowing this, he's going to be incarnated with this child to grow up, to go through death on the cross. Knowing that ahead of time, he was still willing. We see that in the garden. He says, "Where your will is done, Father." But he says it here. Whatever it is, God, I'm here for it. Doesn't matter. Here I am, use me. I have come to do your will, O God. Another thing you've got to think about too is the sacrifice, and especially what it just said here. And the sacrifice with the priests, and they're going to bring the bull or the goat or the lamb in. I don't think they're going to come willingly. I don't want to get gross, but the truth is you're going to drag them in. Especially when we're going to see how they're doing it all day long, 24/7, trying to get all these atonement for sins done through these families. They're not going to come into this willingly. They're going to smell the blood. They're going to see the blood. They're going to see the carcasses of the animals. And these animals are going to have to be forced in to go through the process. But do you see that with Christ? What did Christ say? I have come to do your will, O God. Completely, willingly, wanting to come before his Father to sacrifice himself as God, as a human, for us, for you and me. It's amazing what God will do and what he has done. Then Jesus goes on and says, verse 8, first he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. God did not want just the sacrifices for animals to come through, for us just to remind us of our sin. You know, there's no way that we can come to God without having a guilt-free a way about us, knowing that we are forgiven. You know, the world out there doesn't quite understand that. There's a guy at work I've been working with quite a while, and he has no idea about who. He's into all the religions. You know, he dabbles. He goes, oh, I like to talk religion with guys. He sat down with me last week. Oh, you do? He goes, yeah, I just think theology is great. I go, okay, what do you know about it? Well, he knows some things. He reads a little bit. But the problem is he doesn't know it. Why? He doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's all about relationship. And we have relationship with Christ. We've given our life to him. He's died for us on the cross. We are now coming before God. God sees us as completely righteous, even though as righteous we are now guilt-free before God, the Father. There's no other way to come to him but that way. And the world doesn't understand that. They think they can just go on and they don't need that. And they really do. They need him more than ever now. So this wasn't made for that. It was just made to point back to our sin life, to remind her of what we need to do. And it was a yearly reminder with the Day of Atonement. Then he said, verse 9, here I am. I have come to do your will. He set aside the first to establish the second. What did he set aside the first? The first sin, atonement of sins. We don't need it no more. Christ came to do his will, to go to the cross and die, to establish a new way of being guilt-free, a new way of atoning for our sins, and that's through Jesus Christ. A free, easy way to go. We don't have to bring our pet goat in or our sheep or our cow to have him murdered in front of us to remind us of our sins, to forgive us of our sins. That doesn't forgive us, doesn't set us free. We have Jesus Christ. He lays before us everything. And all we have to say is yes. He's done it all. And he goes before us and continues to work for us. Every day, every step. And he does it for us because he loves us tremendously. He did it because he said, I will do anything for you, Father. His obedience is amazing. In that, how's your obedience towards Jesus Christ? I'm just asking. Something to take home. Something to work through. We all deal with things. God forgives us for everything. We need to leave them with Him and move on. Verse 10, and by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. And it ends with once for all. You know, there's a lot of people and a lot of churches out there today that seem to want to put Christ back up on the cross. That want to, every time they sin, they have to go through this whole thing to go through and sacrifice Him again. And that's not the case. It says here, He died once and for all. Everything. It's paid in full, done. What? Past, present, and future for all of our sins. He's taken that away. We just have to recognize and confess to Him. That's why our prayer lives are so important. To go before Him, to exert all that we have done, even the things that we're not too sure what we have maybe have crossed up and said something we shouldn't have or hurt a feeling. There's things out there that we do to people that we don't understand or we don't see. From day one with our group, and I continue to remind them of that, there's going to be a day, there's going to be a time, there's going to be a place that I will hurt the feelings of everybody there. I can't go without doing that. Not on purpose, but I'm going to say something to one person, it's going to be overheard by another, and their feelings are going to be hurt. I'm going to say something, then they're going to take it wrong. I didn't explain it right. And if we don't talk about it, we don't go to each other, we don't confess it to God, both of us, then there's this division. And see, Christ died for it once and for all. If things are going to happen, they're going to go before us, we need to give it over to the Lord. Because He forgives us for everything that we do. That's part of being Christians together, to grow together. Verse 11. This goes into now what we're talking about, what the priests do. And we're going to talk a little bit about this. It says, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. So we see this. We've talked about this scene where they're killing these animals, one right after another. There's, if you go back and look in the customs and manners of that day of the temple, when they were doing this on the Day of Atonement, there is no chairs, there is no break places, there is no times. There is no nothing for these priests to sit or stand or to hide away or whatever. They're working all day long, continually, going through the same old ritual of going through to sacrifice these animals. And each one of them goes through a different stage of that sacrifice. From the burnt offerings that they take the fat of the animal, to the meat offering that they send out, to the sin offering that they do. It takes it through that. So they're doing it all day long. And yet, at the end of that day, what has been accomplished? Really nothing. There's no sins that have been forgiven. It's just a reminder of what you are, a sinner. It was never set up to purify or to make guilt free. It was still there. But it goes on to the next line. It tells everything. And this is really cool. It says, but when the priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins. Look what He did. He sat down at the right hand of God. Why? Because it's done. When He died on the cross for us, it was over. There's no need to go through the ritual again. We don't have to keep bringing them in. It's paid for, paid in full. He goes up and he sits at the right hand at the dad with his dad, and he sits there, and it says he's waiting for what? To be a footstool for his enemies. It goes on and says, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by the one sacrifice he had made perfect forever those who are being made holy. He is sitting there. We've been going through Romans, and in Romans it's been really, really neat. Are you guys in Romans right now? I think Patrick said you guys were, maybe not. One of the things we were looking at is this. Right now, what I vision as is Jesus Christ is really standing there. Dad's sitting down. Jesus is standing there. And all he's saying, can I go now? Can I go now? Dad, can I go now? Because he sees his people down there wanting him. He sees everything going bad. Remember, the Father knows the time and the hour. And I know Jesus too, but he wants to be here. He died for you. He wants you so bad he can't stand it. He wants to be here with you. He wants to take you up there with him. He is just begging to get down here. And to know that, to look at that, and to remember that when we go into prayer and we start thinking about this stuff, what he did for us, our being free, guilt-free, trusting in him, giving him everything, knowing that he wants me as much as I need him. Jesus wants you so bad. He's just waiting to break loose. He's waiting for that time, that call for us to come. I can just imagine what's going to happen when it all comes about. I can't wait to see his face. We see, by studying his word, we get to see his face. We get to see his love. But I can't wait to see it. Can't wait to see his love for us completely. Verse 15, it says, the Holy Spirit who testifies to us about this first says, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. We don't need the law anymore. We really don't. You know, we've been going through that whole three chapters of the law that can just drag you through anything, because you're just talking about the law all the time in Romans. But you really need that, because you get into chapter 8, which we're just now going into, and then it just shows you the whole side of it. But we don't need the law. The law is great for us, but all it does is show us our sin. It's all external. What Christ has done for us is to take in the law and to take that and put it where? Where does he say? He writes it, puts it in our heart and writes it on our mind. He turns it internally on us. And if we trust him and walk with him and we know him, we don't have to worry about breaking the laws. It comes natural just to serve him, to go before him. The law is set in place to show us our sin, correct? Christ has freed us from all that. We need to walk with him even more. And knowing that he takes the time to put it on our hearts and write it on our minds. And then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. Goes back to what I was talking about before. He forgets it all. We drag it up and up and down. It's like taking this big old huge pack of sins that we carry around with us, in this suitcase we carry around. Instead of just leaving it at the cross, it seems like we want to drag it around with us. And here he remembers it no more. And I love the last line here. It says, and where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. He's given it all away. Sin is gone. I'm going to tie this in. Let's go to did a brain burp here. Luke. Sorry about that. Luke chapter 2. We talked about a pinpoint time. We see now we're coming into the Christmas time, which is a great time. It's fun. And we know why Christ came. He came so we can be free from sins. We've seen that tonight, how He loves us and He brings us to that point. He's done everything for us. He's paid for it all. We just give Him our allegiance. We give Him everything. We confess our sins to Him, and He sets us free. We are guilt-free. He's paid for it. You know, we stood here before the court, and He comes in and says, hey, I'll take all the penalty. I'll pay the fine. I died. I've done the time. He's free. And He does that for us tonight, every night, every day. He's there before God, while the enemy goes through and accuses us for all the little sins that we do. And He says, no, He's mine, Dad. He's paid for. And we go back to the Christmas story here, and I'm not going to read the whole story in there because it talks about where in those days Caesar Augustus calls everybody. They come out of Nazareth, Mary and Joseph, and they ride down to Bethlehem where he's from. And they get there. They get there at a late hour. There's no place for him to stay, right? But what's really neat is in verse 6, it says, while they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born. Earlier we read where God made a body for Jesus. And here it is. The time of incarnation between the human and God who came down to before us. As we get ready to get into this Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, spend some time here. Really realize what this baby Jesus was all about. Knowing that this child would be raised to walk among men, to show the way to everlasting life, and to die for us on a cross. It's an amazing thing what God's done for us. There's a lot of people out there in our neighborhoods and our everywhere we work, everywhere, that doesn't know Jesus Christ. All I can do is encourage. Encourage to find that boldness. Encourage to pray about that person, to go before them and share Jesus Christ. And this is the perfect time when the world and this nation is turning away from Christ, how we can stand for Him. You know, our stores and our plays and our city things that are doing, they're just taking Christ out of it. They did that in Emporia. Before we got there, they had taken the Christmas program, and it's now the seasonal celebration. And it's really sad that they've done that. I work for the school district. We have to set this thing up down at the Civic Center. It takes us 3 weeks to get it ready. And from what I hear, the people talk before me, who was there years ago, 6-8 years ago is when this happened. They used to have the full menorah set up on all of the Jewish side. They had all of the manger scene set. They had a house with family around a Christmas tree and Christmas deals, and they would say a prayer. And somebody complained, and they threw it all in the trash. We see what God did for us here. We see how the Lord loves us here. He came to set us free. And all He asked us to do, and it's a commandment, is to share the gospel in any little way we can. We don't have to be theologians. We don't have to anything. We just have to love that he's given us to share with him. He puts it on our hearts. He writes it in our minds. We just ask to go before. Pretty much had a short message tonight. I don't know how long you go. 2 or 3 hours more and I probably will go. I can pick up another one here in a minute if we want to pick out a story anywhere. It's great just to come and to go through a little bit of Scripture and see where Christ comes from, what he's done for us, how it relates to the situation we're in, our season right now. This little portion in Hebrews points back to where Christ came to a point in time to this earth. And it's an awesome thing to see. Lord, we come before you today and we thank you for this time. And Lord, we lift it up to you. We ask you to go before us tonight and to guide us, God. Give us boldness that we need. Show us each step that we need to take for you, Lord. I thank you for your scriptures, Lord, and what it does for us, how it guides us, how it reminds us of how forgetful we can be, how we need to be reminded back to a point of sacrifice, God. But what I really thank you for is what you did on the cross, so we don't have to keep bringing the bulls and the lambs and to try to suffice for our sins. Lord, that you died. You died on that cross. You took all the sins and you took them away. And you did it once and once for all. Lord, I just thank you so much. I go before you and ask you to forgive me of my shortcomings and Lord, you're an awesome Lord. God the Father, I thank you for sitting there in the throne right now, taking everything in the palm of your hand and holding it, making everything in a complete order, Lord. I thank you for making a body for your Son to come to this earth and become a man, to walk as we walk. I thank you for having him go to the cross for us, your only begotten Son. I thank you for having to turn your back on him. Jesus, I want to thank you for your obedience. I want to ask you for forgiveness, God, for I am disobedient so many ways. I'm going to thank you for saying yes to your Father. Saying, I will do your will, O God. As the song says, you could have had a myriad of angels come down and pull you off that cross. But you steadfast, Lord, in obedience to your Father, and you died a sinner's death. And upon you, all the sins of the world bear down on you. All my sins, God. And I want to thank you for that, Jesus. And I want to thank you, Jesus, for having the Holy Spirit here now to not only live inside me, but to guide us, to show us the way. To bring us back to you when we fall short, when we fall flat. The Holy Spirit picks us up and he ushers us back to you. I want to thank you, Holy Spirit. I want to thank you for going with me to places that you shouldn't have to go, in thoughts that you shouldn't have to hear, But your love for me is so great that you'll endure anything to bring me back. God, I just ask you to touch these people today and have the Holy Spirit work on them mightily tonight, Lord. Bring a fresh and a new on them. Fill their cups up. These last days, this time of the season, we're running and we're exhausted, God. Refresh them. Give them a new spirit, Lord. Give them a boldness beyond that they can even comprehend, God, to share the gospel. Bring people into their lives that they will recognize and see that they need to speak out, that they know for sure that it was a divine appointment by you, for you. And use them and create a miracle in them, Lord. God, we thank you for all things. I give you everything, God. Everything that I have. I praise you. Thank you, Lord. Your holy and precious name. And all the saints say, amen. Thank you.
We hope the Lord has spoken to you through His Word today. If you've got questions or comments about this message, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're in the Wichita area and don't have a church that you call home, I hope you'll drop by and check us out. You can always get current service times and directions at area code 316-263-3804 or online at www.ccwichita.org. Most importantly, though, please remember, God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. We've all sinned. We've all rebelled against God. And the penalty for that sin is eternal death. But God, in His mercy, sent Jesus to pay that price, to die that death for us. That's why Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago. He died so we wouldn't have to. And He rose again in glory, promising eternal life with Him forever for those who put their trust in Him. So if you haven't decided what to do with the cross, why not say yes to Christ's free gift of salvation right now? You can do it wherever you are simply by praying, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I confess I am a sinner and I need your free gift of salvation. Jesus, please come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture tells us if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you are His. So pick up a Bible and start reading. Begin at the Gospel of John to understand and rejoice in everything it means to be a child of God. If you're in the Wichita area, I hope that you'll stop by. We'll make sure you have a Bible along with some materials to help you begin your walk with the Lord. If you're not close by, feel free to give us a call. We'll be glad to help you find a solid Bible teaching church in your area. Thanks again for listening. May the Lord richly bless you as you commit your ways to Him.